And will you come with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians? We're continuing our exploration of Paul's description of the Christian warrior engaged in spiritual conflict, clothed in the armor which God himself provides. This evening, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verses 15 through 23, in which we find Paul praying. And then we'll turn to what is our text for this evening, Ephesians 6, verse 18. And as we make our way through the letter to the Ephesian Christians, Paul's portrait of the spiritual warriors leaps out, described for us in epic terms. Here's this heroic, attention-grabbing figure, fully equipped, fully clothed in armor. And as we come this evening to verse 18, seems we're back to earth with a bump. Suddenly, Paul is talking about something as prosaic as prayer. Not quite so cool, seemingly, as the Christian warrior fully equipped and accoutred. Doesn't perhaps capture our attention in quite the same way, but prayer is vital to the war effort. I want you to listen as we read first from Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 through 23, then Ephesians 6, verse 18. Listen, this is the word of God. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. The word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for verses that remind us of the importance of prayer. And now we come before your word, and we pray that you would be pleased to open your word for us. Give us understanding. We pray that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened, that we might see, that we might delight in what is given to us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Praying at all times, says Paul, praying at all times in the Spirit. And as Paul gives that exhortation to his Ephesian readers, we almost can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples at a time when it seemed that the enemies of Jesus and his kingdom were waxing strong, prepared to completely annihilate all hopes of Jesus' kingdom being established. You remember Jesus speaking to his disciples and saying to them, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." How important is prayer? It is very important. And as we come to Ephesians 6, verse 18 this evening, the importance of prayer is underscored for us by the fact that Paul uses the word all. Not once, not twice, not three times. We're not going to have a three-point sermon. He uses it four times. The word all. Prayer is something that is multifaceted. It is multi-purpose. It is multifunctional. It is a vital part of the Christian's preparation, the Christian's preparedness to engage in spiritual conflict. Just as spiritual warfare is part and parcel of the Christian life, so also prayer is a part of the Christian life. We're going to come to our verse this evening, and as we do so, Paul outlines for us four dimensions of the prayer life of the Christian. I'm going to march through verse 18, and we're going to break it out into four portions in which Paul tells us that that prayer is to be always, prayer is to be all in all ways and all ways. First point, second point, third point, prayer is to be all-engaging. And fourth point, prayer is to be all-embracing. All. Prayer is important for the Christian. Matthew Henry says, prayer must buckle on all the other parts of the Christian armor. If we're not praying, the other parts of Christian armor are going to fall uselessly to the ground. They're going to be ineffective and unprofitable for us. But we take up the whole armor of God, and we do so as we engage in prayer. Christians are to be praying. Firstly, says Paul, always praying at all times in the Spirit. That's how Paul begins verse 18. We are to be praying at all times. Not necessarily that we individually should be constantly praying. Not that we're to assume some kind of monastic existence that allows us to be praying constantly. What Paul's telling us is that prayer is part of the very fiber, part of the warp and woof of the Christian life. Oh, yes, it's gloriously true that Jesus, whose church encircles the globe, has people who are constantly praying to him. As we go to our beds, there are people rising on the other part of the globe. And as our prayers cease and we go to sleep, there are others rising to pray to our God. The voice of prayer is never silenced. The Church of Jesus is constantly in prayer to him. But of course, what Paul's reminding us is that individually, we are a people for whom prayer should be second nature. We should find ourselves very easily falling into patterns of prayer. Yes, we might set times for prayer, perhaps in the morning, perhaps in the evening, perhaps at other times. But then we remember that in addition to those set times of prayer, we have the high privilege of being able to call out to God at any time. You see, Paul's describing for us a scenario of conflict. And Paul's describing a situation in which the devil may ambush or attack the people of God at any time. And the people of God are assured that at any time, when the need arises, when the conflict waxes hot, that we have access to our God in prayer. We do that recognizing that we find ourselves in situations of spiritual conflict where we need to call out for the help of our God. Think of the Lord Jesus, who sets for us an example that's described in Mark chapter 1, whereas Jesus begins his ministry and carries the battle to the enemy. Remember, as Mark describes the opening phases of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is interacting with those who are needy. Jesus is encountering those who are demon-possessed. He's encountering those who are in the grip and under captivity to the evil one, and he is exercising those demons. He's banishing those evil spirits. He's driving back the powers of darkness. And in the context of that conflict, Mark tells us that Jesus, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, departed and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. As Jesus conducted his ministry, as he pushed back the frontiers of the kingdom of darkness, he did so praying and praying consistently. Paul tells us that we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray at all times in the Spirit, reminding us that feeble and weak though our prayers may be, we have the assistance and the help of the Holy Spirit. And what a precious help that is. Paul, we can think of the different ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us. They are numerous. Back in chapter 2, verse 18, Paul tells us that it is by the Holy Spirit that we have access to the Father. The people of God have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who, as Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, assures us that we are the sons and daughters of God. The Holy Spirit who enables us to cry out, Abba, Father, who gives us confidence that we have a God who helps us. A Holy Spirit who, when words falter, when we can't express the feelings, the yearnings, the fears, the anxieties, the Holy Spirit helps us, as Paul explains in Romans chapter 8, so that when you think of the parent, the child that comes in distress and there are just no words, maybe nothing but tears, maybe nothing but incoherent cries, and the parent understands the pain, the distress, the fear, the anxiety. The Holy Spirit assures us that we're sons and daughters of God. We come with that confidence to a God who hears and who understands even when our prayers are incoherent and inarticulate. And with that, as Paul tells us, that we're to pray at all times, we're to be praying constantly. Paul's reminding us that we come to a God who's constantly on call. God doesn't have office hours. There are not times when God's not going to pick up. We're not like the prophets of Baal. Remember how Elijah taunted them? Maybe your God is, maybe he's out of there. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he's indisposed. Maybe he's off on a journey. He's got something. We come to our God with confidence that he constantly hears us. And of course, as Paul speaks in these kinds of terms and using this kind of language, Paul is reminding us that as we pray, we invoke the resources of God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that as we find ourselves conflicted, as we find ourselves engaged in spiritual warfare, the one who is on our side is the triune God, the Lord of hosts. No wonder you remember that old piece of doggerel. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees, because that weak saint, he or she, cries out to the Lord of hosts and does so with the help of a triune God who rallies to the defense of his people. Christians are to be praying always. We're to be praying also. Second point, we're to be praying in all ways. Paul says that we're to pray with prayers and supplications. And as Paul uses those different terms for prayer, Paul reminds us that there are many different ways that we might pray. Prayer is not to be monotonous. Of course, sometimes we lapse into a monotony. We are instruments with only one note, and we drone, and we drone, and we drone. Paul reminds us that there's a whole variety of ways that we can pray. And in fact, as Paul gives us that reminder, Paul draws our attention to one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us pray. The Holy Spirit gives us a rich vocabulary for prayer. We find that vocabulary in the Bible. We find that vocabulary in the Psalms. The Spirit instructs us through the Scriptures so that sometimes our prayers are prayers of thanksgiving. Sometimes our prayers are prayers of supplication, where we come begging. Where we come begging, we are empty, and we come to a God who is full of grace. And sometimes we come to our God with lament, with tears in our eyes, with words that we can barely articulate. We weep, we pour out our hearts, and we do so with confidence that God hears prayers like that as well, because the psalmists show us that God does that. And then the Lord Jesus himself, you remember, with loud cries and tears, was heard by his heavenly Father. What a glorious thing it is for us to realize that we have a rich vocabulary of prayer. Sometimes we come celebrating, sometimes we come confessing. Paul's prayer at the beginning of Ephesians unfolds for us some of the richness of prayer as he prays and intercedes on behalf of his friends in Ephesus. And then the Lord Jesus himself, who leads us out in prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Doesn't he show us the diversity of prayer? We come with childlike confidence, our Father, and yet with a holy reverence, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come with great anticipation for the future. Thy kingdom come, with great humility, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you hear the boldness there? Here's the beggar coming. Give us daily bread. Give us what we need day by day, because without your provision, we are lost. God who protects us from the evil one. And as Jesus prays, he spreads out for us the whole richness and diversity so that we're guided to pray in all ways so that our prayers are not monotonous prayers that stick to a single note, but are brightened with all the diversity and cadence and rhythm and richness of a rich emotional vocabulary that allows us to come with all of our needs before our God. So we pray always, we pray in all ways. Our prayer is to be all engaging. And as Paul moves on, he tells us to keep alert with all perseverance. Here in the context of prayer, Paul says, keep alert with all perseverance. He reminds us that our prayer is not to be half-hearted. It's not to be a casual matter. It's not the prayers of absent-mindedness or rote ritual, where without engaging our minds, we pour out words like the pagans of whom Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 6. No, we're to be alert. We're to have all perseverance. John Stott brings it back to the reality of the spiritual warfare, the context in which Paul writes. And Stott says that like good soldiers, we're to keep alert and neither give up nor fall asleep. As you pray, don't give up, don't fall asleep, keep alert. It's Peter's words in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be alert, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes he ambushes us when we least expect it. He pounces when we're not ready. And that's where we cry. We pray in the emergency situation. You find yourself in that situation where suddenly the temptation to evil, the lustful thought, the angry posture, the rising bitterness, the welling fear, and we cry out, we be vigilant, we be watchful, we cry out, we're like those wonderful heroic builders in Nehemiah chapter 4, building the walls of Jerusalem. Remember how they went about their work. They had a trowel in one hand, they had their building tool in one hand, and they had their sword in the other. As they built the city, they were in a posture of warfare. As Jesus builds his church, as we engage in the building of the church, we engage in spiritual warfare. We attract spiritual warfare because the devil's very interested in people who are building Jesus' church. The devil's very interested in congregations that are thriving because he desires to thwart that work. And you'll remember that Nehemiah, as he gave his orders to those builders, he stationed among them men with trumpets. Remember the instructions he gives of Nehemiah 4, verse 20. He says, in the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Hear what he's saying. When the trumpet sounds, rally to us there. It's the trumpet sends a signal to the people of God, but the trumpet sends a signal to God himself. God's listening. And there's that picture. As the enemy attacks, as the ambush is mounted, as the attack is staged, the people of God crying out to God. God hears. God rallies to the sides of his people. The spiritual warfare, says one scholar, unfolds in all kinds of unpredictable ways, and the believer brings all things to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is all engaging. We are to be alert. We're not to be distracted. We're to be alert to the attacks of the evil one, the creeping seductions, the surprise ambushes. We're to do so, says Paul, with all perseverance, because sometimes the devil's attacks are like drive by shootings, the unexpected ambush, the hit and run. And then there are other times when the devil seems to bring a sustained attack, when we find ourselves besieged, when we find ourselves beleaguered, when the attack is pressed relentlessly over hours or days or weeks. Paul says, pray with all perseverance. Don't stop praying. Enlist others to pray with you. It's a good time to ask others to be praying alongside you. Learn the scriptures that you can pray, that you can use as you pray in those kinds of situations. Search out the Scriptures, ransack the Scripture to find the promises that you can lay hold on, that provide grist for the mill of your prayer, so that you pray with all perseverance in the face of those relentless onslaughts. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's a promise. That's a promise. Persevere, because the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. We cry out with those in Revelation chapter 22. Come, Lord Jesus. The Savior is coming. Relief will come. Pray with all perseverance. Prayer is not only to be all engaging all our attentiveness, engaging our concentration. Prayer is to be all embracing. Paul says at the end of our verse, we're to be making supplication for all the saints. We're to pray for all the saints. Now, that's a lot of saints. You don't know all of them. You know some of them. Pray for them. Now, the Bible tells us, and Paul, you remember writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, says we're to pray for all people. And we are to pray for all people. It's a good thing for us in these days when we find ourselves being provoked, when people endeavor to provoke us and stir us up, when they present us with information about people who are behaving in ways that we might find provocative, antagonistic, or threatening. We're to pray for those people. We're to pray for all people. And it's a good thought exercise as you watch the news to ask yourself, how do I pray for that person? How do I intercede on their behalf? What they're doing may be ungodly. I might not like what they're doing. I may vehemently disagree with what they're doing, but how do I pray for them? Paul says pray for everyone. But Paul says pray for all the saints. You have a particular responsibility to pray for the people of God. One commentator draws out the military analogy, and remember how we've spoken already of the way in which the Roman soldiers, whom Paul's thinking of in these verses, the Roman soldiers did not fight as scattered individuals strewn across the battlefield. They fought shoulder to shoulder, standing side by side. One commentator says, just as Roman soldiers looked out for their brothers in arms, so believers are to intercede on behalf of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Prayer is a corporate exercise. We're to embrace all of our brothers and sisters in the arms of our prayers. Be praying for them. And as you hear Paul speak of this situation of spiritual conflict and warfare, the sudden ambush, the cry of distress, the individual who's being ground down by a persistent onslaught of the evil one, we get the idea from Paul, very properly, that the prayers of God's people are not the sanitized prayers of those who have learned flowery phrases by rote. The prayers of God's people are the cries of those who recognize the realities of the spiritual warfare in which they're engaged and who are respectful of their brothers and sisters, who rally to their brothers and sisters as they hear their brothers and sisters articulate those prayers of brokenness, of sorrow, of lament, of mourning, of distress. We're to be authentic in our praying, and we're to be all-embracing as we pray for the people of God. Don't be selective. A Knox session provides you with a prayer calendar if you're a member of the congregation. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Paul says that you're to be praying for all the saints. Start with them. We all need those prayers. Embrace them in your prayers, and as you do so, you will embrace them in your hearts. Matthew Henry says that there none of the saints are so good or in such good condition in this world so as not to need our prayers, and they ought to have them. There are none of your brothers and sisters who are doing so well that they don't need you to be praying for them. So Matthew Henry says, they ought to have them. You're indebted to them to be praying for them. And Paul goes on in verses 19 and 20 to ask for prayer for himself. We'll come to those verses, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks, but we've already seen that prayer is something that is part and parcel of the Christian life. We're to pray always. We're to pray in all ways. Our prayers are to be all engaging. We're to be fully engaged in prayer. Our prayers are to be all embracing. Enfold your brothers and sisters in your prayers.
They need them. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for such words as these, simple words, and yet words that call us to our duty, that rally us to the cause of the Lord Jesus, that draw us alongside our brothers and sisters, that bring us to the throne of grace in order that we might find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. And we pray, our Father, that we might have eyes raised to heaven. And we ask that you would hear the prayers of your people. Teach us to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.